astonished if the electron scattering people would at some point come up with a solution to that. All right, so this is how our value fits in the landscape of previous values, 10 times improvement, but 5 sigma away. I have to say that lattice QCD calculations, although they have a large error bar, they are, well, the most recent one I found is well, not so bad with, for us, but it's rather, well, it's a little bit away from the other ones. A dispersion analysis of not only the electron scattering, but more data has recently come up with, actually, these are two bands, which I just plotted in one value. There's a smaller solution here and a larger solution here, and the larger agrees perfectly with us. This is the world average electron scattering value from SICK. This is hydrogen spectroscopy. And just recently, MINDS Accelerator people have published a new, or it's on archive now, a new value from a new measurement on electron scattering. And they find a value which is in perfect agreement with hydrogen. We have to see what comes out. It's really a puzzle. So now, of course, I claim my value for the proton charge, or our value of the proton charge radius is correct. And now we take this most accurate value of the charge radius and plug it into the most accurately measured frequency in hydrogen. This is 1s2s, which has been measured to in the 10 to minus 14 or 15 level. And so we can continue this. Right. 5 times better accuracy, but 5 sigma away. All right. Some more measurements. So after we had found the first resonance in muonic hydrogen, we got greedy. And we asked the PSI management to give us beam time extension, which is not so easy usually, but when they found, when they saw this resonance, they were convinced quite quickly. So we got 3 weeks extra. And we first switched to, we first went to muonic deuterium because it's rather close in laser wavelengths. It's 5.8 micron instead of 6 micron. And there we had to search for the line a little bit. This is the prediction, but this has a large error bar, and I wouldn't be too astonished that this prediction, which is then a post-prediction, shifts a lot, because there in muonic deuterium there is a large polarizability contribution not only to the lamp shift, which is included, but also to the hyperfine structure, which is not included in this prediction. So I think this is not a serious issue. Then we switched to the second line in muonic hydrogen, which is with our new charge radius, we hit it on the first try. It's exactly where it should be. I have to apologize. All these x-axes are different scales, so this is always the correct width. It doesn't look like this. It just depends on how far we had to search. So it's always this 18 gigahertz wide resonance line. From this resonance in hydrogen, this is the from the lower F equals zero state to the second from the top F to P3 half state, we can deduce the hyperfine structure of the 2S state in muonic hydrogen. This is sensitive to the magnetization distribution of the proton. So once when this is analyzed, we will be able to give comparable accuracy Zeemach radius. And then in the last days of the beam time, actually this is 2 days of data, we said we have to find a second resonance in muonic deuterium because hydrogen, the first and the second one, they fit with each other, but deuterium doesn't fit with the new value for the of the proton radius. So we had to search a lot, and then we found one line, and then we looked at the level scheme, and then we said that there must be a doublet. Where is the second one? And then we looked here, and then there was nothing. And then we went there, and in the last 4 hours or so, or 5 hours, we measured this one. This is not really significant. I wouldn't call this a resonance, but since this is hydrogen, this is not a miracle. You have to have a doublet, and the left line must be twice as high as the right one. And since there is nothing of this size here, I assume it's this one. Basically, this just serves to identify this one uniquely. But this is not very accurate, only 40 ppm. Voila. So to summarize, we have measured this beautiful transition and get this 4% smaller value for the proton charge radius. The second line in hydrogen agrees with the first one, with the expected position, and we can get the Zeemach radius to a few percent. This also in turn means that the magnetization distribution, or the Zeemach radius as it's known so far, is correct, because otherwise we would have seen different hyperfine structure. And it's also not the hyperfine structure which is fooling us, so to say. Then we measure 3 or 2.5 resonances in Munich deuterium, where we can get the deuteron radius, and combined with the isotope shift from ordinary hydrogen in deuterium, we get the proton polarizability. So how much the muon wiggles the deuteron. And yeah, that was... I may end with an outlook. We have now formed a new collaboration, which is basically the old collaboration with some minor changes. We are calling ourselves the CREMA collaboration, which is charge radius experiment with muonic atoms. This has been approved at Paul Scherrer Institute in Switzerland in February this year. It's basically Z equals Z plus 1. We want to measure the Lamb shift in muonic helium. And from this, we want to determine the alpha particle and the helium charge radius 10 times better than previously known. So this is the now familiar muonic hydrogen level scheme with a 2% finite size effect. And helium, the finite size effect is even larger. It's 20% of the Lamb shift. It's really huge. This is a level scheme of helium 4. There's only two lines which can be measured. But helium 3 has a richer spectrum. And in the first stage, we want to measure helium 4. And by that time, we want to develop a helium recirculation system because helium 3 is expensive. And then we intend to measure all these transitions in muonic helium 3. Of course, first thing we want to understand is this proton size puzzle. Is there something fishy with muonic atoms? Now, I would say if muonic helium, the radius deduced agrees with the electron scattering value, then there's something wrong with QED in hydrogen or whatever. We hope that this will solve the proton size puzzle. We can also deduce an absolute charge radii of helium 3 and helium 4, which is interesting because people have measured the isotope shift in ordinary atoms, and from this they get the charge radius difference of helium 3 versus helium 4 and helium 6 versus helium 4 and helium 8 versus helium 4. And you need an anchor line, which is as precisely known as possible, that you can get the absolute value of these charge radii, because this is interesting for low energy effective nuclear models. And then there's a project going on by a guy next door of my office. He is pursuing the measurement of the 1s, 2s transition in helium plus. It's a bit nasty wavelength, that's 60 nanometers. But the idea is that you can do better bound state QED test with this thing if you have a better value for the alpha particle charge radius. And interesting QED terms scale with large powers of Z alpha. So although you go from Z equal 1 to Z equal 2, if you have Z to the 5, this is a large improvement. The advantages for us is that we can use basically the identical muon beam. We use a similar laser system. We just get rid of the Raman cell because in the existing laser system, we have a titanium sapphire laser, which we then Raman shift. And these lines in muonic helium are at around 800 nanometers to 900 nanometers. So that's ideally suited for our TICEF laser. We can use the similar or maybe a little bit better X-ray detectors because this Lyman alpha energy is more easily detectable. And the event rate, I forgot to say, we had 6 events per hour in our last run on the top of the resonance. 1 background event per hour, 6 signals per hour. When we were running the laser at 250 hertz, so that's a million shots per hour, and we get 6 clicks out. This will be significantly easier. We have, depending on the transition, we have about up to 50 events per hour. And the line width is even broader. It's 300 gigahertz. So that's a massive line. The people who have been involved in this is Franz Koppmann, who started this when he was a diploma student. Basically, he started to work with muonic hydrogen. He is retired now, or he's close to retiring. He's one spokesman. I'm the other one. MPQ Garching is involved. Then there's the Laboratoire Castel-Lebrossel in Paris, where the people who have been measuring the Ripper constant by high-precision spectroscopy in hydrogen are involved. Coimbra are in Portugal are specialists on the X-ray detectors. Mr. Giesen has invented the disc laser technology, and these two institutes are involved with the disc lasers. And there are other people who are involved with lasers. And even since this experiment took quite some time from its first ideas in 1998 to its final realization, lots of people had to change their field of interest because institutes got shut down or so. But apparently it's so much fun to work with us that they actually spent their holidays in the beam time last year with us. And so thanks a lot for your attention.